Good morning. How y'all doing? All right. I was playing with Lincoln earlier, and I was hollering, and so my throat is all scratchy, so I'm going to drink a little bit. What you say? Do that on time. Don't you love family? Oh. Well, today we've been talking about prayer and praying along with Paul, but we're going to hit the pause button on that. And we'll get back to that next week. This week, I want to talk about what's going on in your life and what's going on in our church. And I want to be able to look at our situation and evaluate what's happening. And so we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah today. If you want to go to Nehemiah, that's in the Old Testament. Front half of the Old Testament before you get to Psalms and Proverbs and all the other, what you call those, prophets. And we're going to talk about what's going on. So we've been praying. When I say we, I talk about our staff and a couple of other guys that are in leadership, and we're praying and we're looking and we're seeing and trying to understand what's going on in our church and in our life, and what are the next steps for us as a church, and what are the things we need to emphasize and to look at. So, if I don't know if you've ever put something up in maybe in your shop or in a closet, and you think it's going to be good, right? But if you don't use it, you go to it, and it's like it's just not right. Something's messed up. It kind of falls apart more so than if you were actually using it. Kind of like a house that's empty and for a long period of time tends to fall apart faster than a house that's actually lived in. It's kind of ironic. And so if we put things in our lives in the closet and we think, oh, I'm just going to worry about the later or think about that later, and we don't really deal with that, then, you know, our life begins to fall apart and we don't know why, because we're not checking in on us. And when I say checking in, I really mean spiritually, what's going on in my life when it comes to me spiritually. And so over many, many years, one of the things I preach oftentimes is for you to be in God's Word and to apply God's Word to your life. And we've been talking about prayer and applying that and praying and going deeper, and not just the stuff that we want, you know, the things that we need or the things that we desire, and not treating God as a cosmic genie or a cosmic Santa Claus, but really going deeper and praying for those things that really have longevity and really matter in eternity. And we looked at some of the prayers of Paul and trying to say, hey, what is he praying for, and how can we pray in that manner? And we looked at the idea of wanting to know God, and that being much more than just knowledge and information, but rather really knowing Him and having intimacy with Him, and getting to understand His character and letting that encourage us and build our faith, and taking those steps in life to follow Him. And so the unevaluated life oftentimes just kind of goes along to get along, and you don't really prosper. And when I say prosper, I don't mean you're going to get rich. I'm talking in a spiritual manner of God really using you and blessing you and you knowing Him and loving Him and on a much, much deeper level. And so we're going to use Nehemiah here as our template, just to kind of give you a little background. Nehemiah is in exile. He's a Jew who's living in Babylon. Well, it's not Babylon anymore, but it's been taken over. Artaxerxes is the king at this point, but the Babylonians had conquered it, and then here come the Medo-Persians, and they conquer Babylon. And at this point, Nehemiah is the cupbearer of the king, which means he's it's a very important job. One of the ways that many people got rid of the leader was they would poison them, you know, through their drink or food. And so the cupbearer's job was to be the guy who takes the first sip and the first bite and to make sure he doesn't drop dead, and so the king can eat it. So this guy's very trusted, spends a lot of time with the king, and his days are filled with just being by the king and taking care of the king and doing what he needs. So he's a trusted friend. He's an advisor of sorts. He's the first line or the last line of defense, so nobody can assassinate the king when it comes to his food or drink. And so Nehemiah finds out he has a brother, says he comes visit, and as he says, "Hey, how are things?" And his brother had been in Jerusalem, and he tells him the condition of the city. He says the walls are all in rubble. They've been in rubble for years, decades now, and things have all fallen apart, and no one has rebuilt it, and the temple is not built up yet as it should, and so Nehemiah gets really, really disheartened, and he begins to pray, and his heart is that the walls would be rebuilt, and that Jerusalem would come back and have some of the glory that it once had. And it's not for his own sake, but it's for the sake of God. This was the holy city, and this is where the temple was. This is where God dwelt, and it's in shambles. And so Nehemiah prays, and if you calculate it, you see that he prays for about 6 months. And most of us give up on prayer after about 6 hours. But he prays for 6 months that God would restore the city and that God would bring back his glory, and looking for opportunities to do that. And so one day he's with the king, and he's downcast. He's not having a good day, and he's not hiding it. It's all over his face, which is not a good sign. You know, you don't do that with the king. You at least act happy. You put on a happy face, and you serve him with gladness. But that day, he couldn't hide it. It was all over him. And the king says, "Nehemiah, what's going on, bud?" And so he shoots off a quick prayer, says, "God, help me." And he begins to tell the king. He says, "You know, the land of my descendants and my ancestors is in shambles. The city that was the glory of God, the walls have torn down. And, you know, I found this out, and I'm troubled by it, and it's just got me." And so the king says, so what do you want? And Nehemiah says, "I want to go back and rebuild the wall." And the king says, "Okay, how long is it going to take?" So he gives him some amount of time. We're not told specifically. And then he says, "Hey, would you be willing to write some letters to, you know, the guys, the lumber yard, basically, the keeper of the forest, the lumber yard, and all the building supplies to Lowe's and Home Depot, and, you know, just write us a little letter saying that whatever we need, that they are to supply it out of your goodness." King Artaxerxes says, "Sure." So a miracle. The king says, "Go back and build up a city that was once, or could become, a city that would rebel against him again." And so he sends Nehemiah. And it takes probably a couple of months to get there with traveling, and he has a lot of people with him, and he gets there. And that's where we are in the text. In chapter 2 is where we're going to be. And I want to read it and then talk about needing to evaluate our own lives. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 2. Trying to remember what exact verses I picked. We're going to be in verse 11 through 18. It says, after I arrived in Jerusalem and had been there for 3 days, I got up at night and took a few men with me. I didn't tell anyone what God had laid on my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was one I was riding. And I went out at night through the valley gate, through toward the serpent's well and the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates had been destroyed by fire. I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but further down, it became too narrow for my animal to go through, so I went up at night by way of the valley and inspected the wall. Then heading back, I entered through the valley gate and returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, for I had not yet told the Jews, priests, nobles, officials, or the rest of those who would be doing the work. So I said to them, you see, the trouble we are in, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's walls so that we will no longer be a disgrace. And I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king had said to me. And they said, let's start rebuilding. And they were encouraged to do this good work. So this morning I want us to talk about evaluating. What do we need to evaluate? Nehemiah arrives after a long journey. Like I said, probably took a couple of months or so to get there with this caravan of people. And he takes a three-day break. He just doesn't do anything. And he's not told all of the officials and the nobles and the people living there exactly what's going on. You can imagine there's a little apprehension, a little anxiety on their part. What's Nehemiah doing here? What's going on? We got a new governor. Oh, what's going to happen? Is he going to, you know, up the taxes? Is he going to kick us out? What changes is he going to make? And he doesn't tell them anything. He just takes a break for 3 days. And then after those 3 days, he begins to go out at night alone. Says he just rides his donkey. It's just him and the donkey, and they're going, and they are looking at the wall, and they're observing their situation. And he begins to evaluate the situation. He begins to look around at the wall, and he begins to see the condition of things, that, you know, the rocks and the wall stones have been knocked down. They've been knocked down. There's probably weeds and grass growing up amongst them. And the gates that were burnt are still, you know, destroyed. And he evaluates. And the thing is this, if you don't evaluate your life, if you don't evaluate things within your own situations, you can't determine which areas really need to be addressed. And normally what happens is we see issues in life and we just overlook them. And we just say, I'll get to that later. Or I'll focus on that when I have more time. I'll focus on that when this part of my life is over, when my kids are raised, or when this is paid off, or when that's done. And we just let it go. And then we begin to ignore it. And then we don't even see it anymore. It's like you go to some place and you see the cobwebs and you see the trash in the yard or on the ground, but the owner no longer sees those things because they're so accustomed to them, they're so used to them that they are just part of life around them. And that thing that we don't evaluate, what we don't inspect, we don't address. So after lots of prayer, after some investigation, we, and by we, again, staff and a couple of other guys, we meet weekly, and we've been talking about this, and what do we need to do for our church? What does our church need? We've developed a tool to help us do some evaluating. And there's lots of different things that you can evaluate. There's many areas you can evaluate. You know, we can talk about the physical condition of the church. We can talk about all kind of different things. But I think the place we need to start is the spiritual condition of our lives. And so what we have is we have a tool, and it's a survey. We want you to answer some questions. A lot of them are going to be pick a number. You know, I strongly agree, do this sometimes, don't do those type questions. But then there are a few questions where we want you to do some writing and thinking. And I would say this will take you probably 20 to 30 minutes. But here's the catch. We need you to be honest. It's going to be very easy for you to say, well, the answer should be this. I should be doing this more often, or I should care about this, or I should have this or that in my life. And so we're going to want to answer what we should do instead of what is really going on in our life, because we don't want to give off a bad impression. But here's the deal. Without honest answers, we can't get a true picture. And so we really need to know the truth. We really need you to answer honestly. We really want you to tell us what's going on in your life. Fight the desire to be dishonest. Fight the desire to be shallow. Fight the desire to say, my pride wants me, you know, this would be humiliating if I answered this way because I should be here or I should be there in my life. If you don't be honest, it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of ours. So don't give us the answer you think we want. Give us the truth. And so Nehemiah goes and he evaluates and he goes through all these different gates and he says, well, we're going to need work here. It's going to need work here. We're probably going to need so many guys here. We're going to need so many people here. And so we want this tool to look at your life in different areas, and you answer them. Now you can be anonymous. You don't have to put your name on it. You can. It's up to you. It doesn't matter one way or the other. There is a question at the end, hey, do you want us to follow up with you? Do you want us to talk with you about this or someone to talk with you about this? And so obviously if you do, we need to know who you are. But you don't have to put your name. So that may help you to be more honest in those things. So what are the areas that we're going to evaluate, you may ask? There's six of them, and there's a few questions under each one. Number one question, or the number one section, if you will, is your life with God. Questions like, do you spend meaningful time with God? Are you actually reading scripture? Are you letting your life be shaped by the word? Are you applying what you are learning? What about your prayer life? We've been talking about our prayer life for the last month and a half or so. Have you applied any of that? Or is church just something you do and you go to and you go home and it's not something that's really taking effect? Again, we know what we should do, but what are you really doing? So what's going on in your life? What's going on with your time with God? Are you struggling there? Are you struggling to find time? Are you struggling to make time? What issues are you having? The second area is an area of the gospel. Is it really clear to you? So what is the gospel? I often talk about the gospel, and sometimes, I explain it point by point, but sometimes I just talk about the gospel in general. But do you understand what the gospel is? If you had to tell someone the gospel, if you had to tell a friend, what would you say is the gospel? Have you actually stopped and thought through that? Do you share the gospel? Do you struggle with doubts about God and about Scripture? Do you struggle with details or things here and there? Let me be honest with you. If you live a life and you never struggle with these questions, I don't believe you. Christians struggle. And it's okay to struggle if that struggle pushes us to find the answer. So what are you struggling with? What are you having doubts about? What are the areas that you, maybe it's not clear to you. Maybe you don't know how to articulate it. What's going on in your life that you need some clarity on? The third area is the area of repentance and living holy. Rusty and I were talking before church, and we were talking about, you know, there's this thing in Protestantism, which we're Protestants, that when Martin Luther said, you know, we're saved by faith alone through grace alone, we say yes. But Martin Luther and so many people after him threw the pendulum so far the other way that a lot of people say, well, I've got grace and I can do whatever I want. And we go on and we sin. And we don't live holy. We don't live a life that is glorifying God. And we don't deal with repentance. And the thing is, yes, you're saved by faith through grace. But there's expectations of what that life looks like when you find that forgiveness. When you find that grace. When you find that you are expected to live holy. And so how are you doing there? Are you mindful of sin that's in your life? Again, we don't evaluate, so we don't even think about it. We ignore it. We don't want to deal with it. And we just say it'll go away, and then we just don't think about it anymore, but it's still there. But here's a question. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of that, how do you respond? Do you rationalize it away? Say, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'm better than so-and-so. It's not taking up that too much of my life. It's not really affecting all that. And instead of saying, yes, it's sin, repenting and changing through the power of the Holy Spirit, how are you responding? The fourth area is having to do with fellowship and church life and relationships. Do you even think that going to church is a necessary or important thing in your life? Again, we know what the answer should be. But do you really think it's important or necessary? You know, everybody says, when I was growing up, yada, yada. Yeah, when I was growing up, we were in church all the time, twice on Sunday, all day on Sunday, if you did choir and all this other stuff, and then on Wednesday, and then slowly we've backed off. We only meet on Sunday morning now and on Wednesday night. But do you even think that's important? Do you have meaningful relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ outside of those quote-unquote church times? Do you talk to people that you go to church with besides on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening? Are these relationships important to you? The fifth area is having to do with you serving and being a steward and being a witness and how do you respond to that? So questions be questions like this. How are you spending your time? How are you using your abilities? How are you using your money? Is it for the glory of God? Is it for helping others? Is it for the mission and, you know, of the gospel? Or is it all about what you want? And are you just focused on the things that are going on in your life? Do you even care about the spiritual condition of people who are lost? It's a tough question. I know we should care, but do you care? Do you have people that you pray for, you pray about? Do you go the next step, and are you so bold as to say, God, give me an opportunity to share your gospel this week? That can be a scary prayer from somebody who is not outgoing and not comfortable. And the last area is, what do you need from leadership? What do you need from us? What areas of Scripture are you having trouble understanding? What doctrines, if you will, beliefs about God or about Scripture that you need help to understand right now? What burdens, what sorrows, what temptations are weighing down on you? Because if we don't know those things, we can't address those things and help you. This is coming from a heart of wanting to help you and to grow you and to grow our church. You look around and we're being honest with ourselves, we got a lot of space. We've gone through ups and downs. We've had people come. We've had people leave for various reasons. But us right now at this snapshot of life, how can we grow personally? And what can we do to help our church grow? When it comes spiritually, when it comes numerically, when it comes to different things. So when we look around and we're honest with ourselves, we say, ooh, yeah, the bills are being paid, but I don't know about you, but I want so much more for our church than just survival. I want you to thrive spiritually. I want people to come and worship together and have relationships outside of church, to encourage, to hold accountable folks. So what are we going to do? Next week in Sunday school, we'll have these surveys. We'll hand them out. If you miss Sunday school, we'll have some in the foyer. And we want you to work on those, not in Sunday school, but to think through those issues. We want you to answer those questions. I really want you to pray before you answer these questions and these evaluations and say, God, help me to be honest. Help me to be truthful. Reveal to me the areas that maybe I have blind spots in my life that I need help with. And then by the 5th of July, which is only 3 Sundays away, we want you to turn them in. We'll have a box in the foyer, a little slit. You could just slide it in. Nobody, and we're not going to compile a list and hand it out to everybody and say, oh, look at the sin that Josh is struggling with. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to kind of gather the information together, to get some trends. Where are people struggling with? Where are people having a hard time with? And we'll say, these are the areas that we're seeing. And I'm going to let you know, once we evaluate and look at those things, what happens. Again, we're not having a large conversation where we throw everybody's name on the board and say, look at the answers she had. Shame on her. That's not what we want. So, don't put it off. Don't forget. We really need you to answer these questions. And have I mentioned that I want you to be honest? Be honest. Be thorough. answer these questions. And so we want to let it. The idea is, okay, so for me personally, it's number one, what are your needs? And maybe it'll affect what are the next sermon series need to be. You know, what book do you need to hear from? What area do you need in your life to be able to grow in your spirituality? Because that's what I care about. I care about you. I care about you growing. But we need to evaluate. An evaluation can sometimes be scary. Sometimes we're faced with the truth that we don't want to deal with, and we have to. But it'll help us all in the end. If we don't evaluate, we don't know what needs to be fixed or dealt with, and we don't know what areas are going to be most meaningful for you as you grow. So, we'll get everything printed up. We'll pass it out in Sunday school. If you're not going to Sunday school, I highly encourage you to go to Sunday school. Be part of that small group. Live life with others. I know I'm enjoying Sunday school a whole lot. They don't like me in there because I talk a lot, apparently, when it comes to Daniel. I'm joking. I had nowhere else to go with that. But it's been great, and there's so many life lessons that are in there about us and where we fall and where we need help in those things. So I really, really encourage you to get involved in a Sunday school if you're not. But again, we'll put them out for everyone to have a copy and to do it. All right, let me pray for you. And hey, it's been short today. And like last week, that was like 50 minutes. When I went to do that, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody preached really long. It's Chris's fault. He just smiles. Let's pray. God, I pray that we would learn from Nehemiah and we would learn that evaluation is important, even though evaluation sometimes hurts, sometimes we uncover things we don't want to deal with. Sometimes we uncover stuff that we don't want to be truthful about. But God, I pray that as we evaluate our lives, we evaluate the things we're going through, our struggles. I pray that we can celebrate together, that we can mourn together, that we can learn together. And most importantly, we can grow together. I pray that we would take this seriously, that we'd be totally honest, and that if we're confronted with something we need to deal with, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us and that we would do it. We love you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives and for us that we don't even recognize. May you be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.